It's the hardest thing to give away. It's the last thing on your mind today. It's the opposite of how you feel. It takes everything you have to say a word. It flies in the face of all your pride. It's always anger's own worst enemy. But it'll clear the bitterness away and it'll set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. I'm speaking about forgiveness this morning in our series on unity. There's nothing more detrimental to unity in our culture, in our communities, in our homes, in our schools, in our relationships, in our workplaces, and most importantly in our churches. There's nothing more detrimental to unity than forgiveness. It's probably the hardest thing that we have to exercise as Christians is forgiveness. Forgiveness, defined by Webster's dictionary, is to give up resentment against or give up desire to punish. To give up the resentment against something or someone, or to give up the desire to punish. The Bible describes or defines forgiveness as to send forth pardon. In other words, to release from punishment or to excuse for a fault. It means to send forth remission, which is to release from a debt, as the Bible describes what forgiveness really is. As Christians, forgiveness is not only at the core of what we believe and what we state in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins. But oftentimes we say, well, we believe in the forgiveness of sins because we believe that God forgives me of my sin. So I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And it's what we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not that in God's forgiveness of us depends on our forgiveness of others, but so that as we go along our path in life, our Christian path, our Christian walk, as we go along forgiving others when they sin against us, God goes along with us forgiving us as we sin against him. And together it creates unity between God and us and between us and others and between God and others, this understanding of forgiveness. It's what Jesus taught us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching about these things, as he teaches on the Beatitudes and so forth, and the different laws. He teaches that we should forgive others as God has forgiven us. And the reason is because we understand as Christians that no one is perfect. The Bible even says there's none righteous, no, not one. We understand that as Christians. That's supposed to be the whole idea of forgiveness. We understand that no one's perfect. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus again is teaching. He says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know, we come before God in prayer, we're asking God to forgive us, but yet there we stand with unforgiving hearts, failing to or refusing to forgive others as God has forgiven us. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing to the believers in Ephesus. In verse 32, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you, being compassionate, forgiving each other. In our text today, we find Jesus teaching about forgiveness. It's a passage that we like to pick apart. We read over and we know it's real. It's in red in our Bibles because Jesus taught about it. But yet we struggle with it and we like to dissect it as Peter tried to. We find Jesus teaching about forgiveness. The context here in this is Jesus coming on his way to Jerusalem after he's been out on the up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's on his way to Jerusalem teaching, and he came to the town of Capernaum up on the north west side of the Sea of Galilee, up in the north. And he's teaching there by the sea, as he often did. He's teaching about temptation to sin, concern for the lost sheep, how to deal with someone who sins against you, as we call it church discipline. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens, you've won your brother over. But if he's not, if he doesn't listen, take him before one or two others. If he still doesn't listen, take him before the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Kind of harsh words that if you go to someone who sinned against you and try and make amends or try and reconcile, and they will not refuse or they will not forgive you, then you're supposed to treat them like a pagan or a tax collector. In other words, classify them as an outsider. They're no longer part of God's chosen people. Because see, he's talking here to the Jews and to those gathered around him up in Galilee, that they're supposed to be considered an outcast, not one of God's chosen people, because they will not, they refuse to forgive you when you go to them. Peter comes to Jesus and he says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, the rabbis usually taught that the people were supposed to forgive three times. Peter suggests seven times, but Jesus says an uncounted number of times. I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, he says, let me tell you what I'm talking about here. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He began to settle these accounts, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. Well, one note says that's $1 million. Another says a talent was a measure of weight, you know, an actual measure of weight. But it was a large sum. And he was brought to the king. He wasn't able to pay, so the king ordered him to be taken and sold. He, his wife, his children, and all that he owed, or all that he had to repay the debt. The servant came to the king, and he fell on his knees. And look what he said. Please be patient with me. Be patient with me. I'll pay back everything. So the master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. The King James Version says he forgave the debt. He let him go. You see, the man asked for grace, and grace was forgiven, and forgiveness was extended. So the servant, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. There again, it's only a few dollars. In some texts, it says it's 100 days' wages. Just think of 100 days, that's a little over 3 months' wages, a small amount, relatively. He grabbed this man and he started choking him. He said, pay me back what you owe me. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient, I'll pay you back. But he refused to be patient. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And so the other servants saw this and they went back and told the master what had happened. Again, this man asked for grace, but instead of grace, he received punishment and judgment rather than forgiveness. Then the master called the servant. He said, you wicked servant, you hurtful servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? So it made the king angry. And he turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this, Jesus says, is how your heavenly Father is going to treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Have you ever felt like day in and day out, you're just simply tortured? There's something torturing you, something just like life is literally torturing you. Things aren't going well. You're angry. You're anxious and you just can't understand it. Can I suggest this morning, maybe there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe there's something inside that you're carrying that you need to get rid of, that you need to give up resentment against, or a desire to pay back or punish, that you need to send forth pardon to release them. because they owe you. They owe you an apology, you see. The principles here are that forgiveness isn't about being paid back. We say, well, I'll forgive them when they come to me and apologize. When they admit that they're wrong, I'm going to forgive them then. But not until then. The principle here is not that forgiveness is about being paid back. It's not about others suffering because of what they did or said. It isn't about judgment because we have no right to judge anybody else because there's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. We have no right to say they need to pay for what they did or said. They're no Christian. They call themselves a Christian. They go to church on Sunday and look at how they act. Look at how they treat people. I'm going to make them pay. You ever run across anybody like that? Who are we to judge who is a Christian and who isn't? As a matter of fact, as Christians, our struggle is to forgive others, isn't it? How do we have the right to say someone's not a Christian? That isn't up to us. Only God knows the true heart. You see here, the master called the servant. He said, you wicked servant, I canceled that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? When we don't forgive, folks, we suffer, others suffer, and the enemy wins, and the church looks like a group of hypocrites. This is what characterized the early church, was forgiveness and love and mercy. You see, Jesus teaching in Luke chapter 6 says, don't judge and you'll not be judged. Don't condemn and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Paul, when he wrote to the Colossians, he said to them, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience. Isn't that what the king had on the servant? Patience. Isn't that what was lacking between the servant and the man that owed him money? It was patience. They were not willing to be patient with them and work with them, you see, and give them a chance. Paul said to the Colossians, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Well, we're going to get to love here in a few weeks. But today we're talking about forgiveness because of it's so detrimental to unity in our churches. And Paul wrote much about it in the New Testament. Some of the most bitter people that I have met are bitter because they cannot forgive someone. When Jesus was giving instructions and teaching here about discipline in the church, and this is what we are to use today, when there are those that are not living according to Christian, what we consider Christian doctrine and teaching, we're to go to them first, privately, not to cause embarrassment. And if they fail to comply or forgive in this case, we're to take a couple of friends to still keep it private. And if they still will not forgive, then we bring them before the church. And if they don't forgive them, then it's a major issue, so, of which it really was in the beginning. I've been on both sides of this, where there's been church discipline done. In some cases, there was forgiveness extended. And those people are absolutely some of the best Christian brothers and sisters that I have and I know. And I know that I can trust in them now in my own spiritual journey when I need someone there. And then there have been those where I've reached out for forgiveness and been denied forgiveness. And how bitter they still remain. It's a very serious thing, you see, in our culture today and in our lives today, and especially in the church today, when we fail to forgive others. And I'm not just talking about those that we love and those that we know and our friends, because in the Bible, it tells us what good is that. Even the pagans do that, you see. And I'm talking about in our whole culture, in our workplaces. Many people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. There was a man by the name of John Oglethorpe who was talking to John Wesley one day, and he said to John Wesley, "I never forgive. I never forgive." And John Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." You know, when we come to God in prayer, we say, "Well, God, forgive us our sins." Not the big ones, the little ones here. And God says, "In my word, I say, I forgive your sins." Like that. So, in our relationships, we have these, all the sins against us, the little and the small ones. And we say, "Well, all right, I'm supposed to forgive. I'm going to forgive that person or those people. There, I've forgiven them. But I'm not going to forget," right? You see the difference there, folks? That's not true forgiveness. It's not true forgiveness until it looks like this. And that's hard to do in a lot of cases. It's hard to do. You say, "Pastor, you don't know what they've put me through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how it's been." I don't need to know. God knows. Jesus knows. And he says, that's who we are. That's what we do. We forgive. What if God felt the way that we feel? "Oh, Lord, we want forgive. Forgive me, Lord. I sin. Forgive me. You know me, Lord. I keep falling into the same trap and I keep sinning. Forgive me, Lord." And the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we march around and we say, "Well, there's that person that they did that years ago to me. And they did something to my family. I'll never forget that." The Bible tells us God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. I've been in churches where family members sin on opposite sides of the church because some stupid issue years ago caused this tension in the family. And they won't pass the peace. They won't talk to each other. They won't look at each other. And for sure, they don't get the sermon because they're thinking all the time that the other side better be listening. The preacher's talking to them this morning. All the while, they stand there and they recite the Apostles' Creed. "Oh, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And oh, Lord, our Father who art in heaven, you know, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins." But they better be listening to the preacher this morning. This sermon's for them. You know, it's not supposed to be that way in the church. Maybe it's time we change the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer. How about, "Well, I believe in the forgiveness of sins except for those certain ones others committed against me. I don't believe in forgiveness then." Or how about, "Well, I don't expect you to forgive us all our trespasses because I can't forgive the really bad things others have done to me." Imagine what it would be like. Isn't that what we're saying oftentimes in our lives? By harboring inside that eats away at our souls and eats away deep inside us and stirs things up inside us. You see, folks, this whole forgiveness thing is based on mercy, compassion, and love. Cleansing and casting off or releasing, not putting the ace in our back pocket for later time when we'll pull it out and use it against someone. You say, "Well, yeah, I forgive them. I forgive them. But boy, there's coming a day. I'm going to pull this out. I'm going to say, you know what they did?" You say, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is getting up, giving up. It's cleansing. It's casting off. It's releasing. As I thought about this, I pondered the question. Can I really love someone without forgiving them? And God quickly gave me the answer to that. Mike, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs. True love keeps no record of wrongs. Imagine how much more ministry the Apostle Paul could have done in his ministry and his missionary journeys if he would not have had to have spent so much time cleaning up messes in the churches. Fortunately, we're blessed to have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Colossians and other writings of Paul because of it. But Paul had to go back to these places. He had to write them letters concerning their divisions, concerning their problems in the church, because the people couldn't get along. And they were starting to hate each other and do backbiting and slandering each other.
And Paul says, this is no good. This isn't Christianity. This is no more than the pagan world around us, has said to the people. We're not acting like this because we're Christians. We're different, Paul was saying. Imagine how much farther he could have moved forward if he wouldn't have had to have spent so much time. Because you see, hatred and unforgiveness causes distraction, and it causes stress, and it causes us to become unfocused. And that is exactly what Satan wants us to do, because when we're wading around in the muck and the mire, we're not making any headway on the journey to the celestial city and doing what God's called us to do as the church. If we're sitting here this morning and our minds are drifting to some time, some place, some person, and we can't forgive them, then I have good news for you this morning. You're in the right place. You are in the right place this morning. Christians are not perfect. They are forgiven and forgiving. Unity comes hard, but it comes by the grace of God, and it comes through prayer and forgiveness. You pray and you pray and you pray and you work at it. While I'm having a hard time putting it out of my mind, God says, you've got to put it out of your mind. Come to me and I'll put it out of your mind. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest and I'll give you peace, and I'll carry you on a new way, and I'll erase it from your mind if you're willing. But there has to be the desire. For there to be true unity, there has to be forgiveness on both sides. And this is another sermon for another day, because in some cases there's unity, but it's a strained unity. And I think in some cases that's the only unity we as human beings can really accomplish, but it's still a step in the right direction, because for true unity, there has to be forgiveness and reconciliation on both sides. However, the Bible tells us that as far as it concerns us, that we're supposed to strive for peace and unity. And sometimes that's impossible because others will not work with us in our workplaces, in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our communities. It creates a strained unity, so to speak. But in order for there to be true forgiveness, there has to be the desire for it. There has to be pity, and there has to be obedience to Jesus Christ. That's the big one. Because when we refuse to forgive, we are disobeying Jesus Christ. Remember those Christians after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? They were all together in one place, and they were rejoicing together in the Lord. These were people from all over the then known world. They were Gentiles. They were Jews. They spoke all kinds of different languages. Do you think they got along? I think there was a lot of strained unity, but there was unity in the Lord Jesus Christ, so much so that they were joyous in what they were doing. They were singing to the Lord, and they gathered together every single day and ate together, fellowshiped together, and spent time together. From Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, I thought this was quite interesting. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? 7? Jesus replied, 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, 'Give me a chance, I'll pay all back.' Touched by his plea, the king let him off, easing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, 'Pay up now.' The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, 'Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back.' But he wouldn't do it. He had the man arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged, and they brought a detailed report to the king. So the king summoned the man and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?'" Isn't that the question? Shouldn't we be compelled to be merciful?
and forgive others because God's forgiven us? The king was furious, and he put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. Wow. That's pretty strong language. That God's going to put the screws to us. The NIV says that we're going to be tortured. And that's exactly what happens when unforgiveness enters the picture. It feels like the screws are being tightened. They're just something that eats away at the person, at the place, at the gathering. It's the hardest thing to give away. And the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Help me now to do the impossible, to forgive. It'll clear away the bitterness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There's no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace, the prisoner that it really frees. Is you. Forgiveness. Show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. I want finally set it free. Show me how to see what your mercy sees. Help me now to give what you gave me. Forgiveness. Written by Matthew West. In the song Forgiveness. Let's pray.